Well, with me in the studio is Bernard Clark, who's the author of Nagasaki. And Bernard, good morning to you. It's the second bomb aspect that is so challenging about Nagasaki. It's the second one, because everyone knew what this bomb would do, including the pilot, Kermit Bean, whose actions on that day you've written about. And, you know, Nagasaki wasn't the original target, and he might have deliberately missed.
Indeed. He was the bomb aimer. The pilot was a man called Major Sweeney. But he was under orders only to drop visually, if he could see the ground. And the primary target was Kokura. It wasn't even Nagasaki.
Which is a more heavily industrialised area.
There would have been, if he'd have dropped it on Kokura, not wanting to be crude, the casualties were estimated at over 300,000. In the end, it was President Truman said, you've got to drop visually. He said he saw cloud. He stopped. He didn't do it. He then flew across to Nagasaki, about 40-odd minutes. They agreed he could drop by radar. And this man, who was the best bomb aimer in the whole of World War II, in all the Allied forces, he missed the target. He missed the centre of Nagasaki. The question is, did he do it on purpose or by accident?
And what have you found out?
Well, I've done a lot of research, Simon, and I'm pretty sure he did it on purpose. He dropped it 2.18 miles from the centre of Nagasaki on a suburb called Urakami. Sadly, on the Catholic cathedral there and the tennis courts. And by doing that, he probably, if you just take Nagasaki, he would have killed certainly 50,000, maybe 75,000 more if he dropped it on the centre. And it's really not a great deal of explanation in the history books as to why he did that. I met his son, and his son said, my dad would only have done it under orders. So then that opens up a whole can of worms. Right. Was he ordered to drop it to the side of the secondary target? And that's what my book is about.
And do you think, is this because, and we know that President Truman, who gave the order, was quite appalled by what that happened in Hiroshima. So what you're saying is opens up the possibility. He said, let's try and make this, I mean, he could have said, don't drop it at all. But you're saying that he tried to limit the damage?
He couldn't have said, don't drop it at all. He was a new president. The military was very much in charge. It had to be dropped.
A lot of people would debate that, because some people say it's one of the cruelest acts of mass destruction in history, because they knew what would happen.
Indeed, it was terribly cruel. And if you go to Nagasaki today, there's something very odd. I was listening to your correspondent, because actually there is a sense in which Nagasaki feels a kind of connection with the whole nuclear thing. When listening to the school children there, I've seen them, they go to the Peace Park. It's almost as if they're celebrating this terrible, terrible event. And what they do is they make origami cranes and they tie them all together. It's a very moving ceremony. This isn't just for the 80th anniversary. This is almost every day. There are all these school children, including children of the age of four. What could they know about nuclear bombs? But it's very moving.
Well, it is a dreadful legacy, but a complex one, as you say, because, of course, when you talk about nuclear proliferation these days, there was a meeting about trying to stop it in 2021 recently, which Japan did not agree with. I mean, they said actually, because it is the last time and the only time, well, the last time that a nuclear weapon was used. And the rationale, presumably, from the US was to end the war, which was killing tens of thousands of people on both sides. And it remains a deterrent to this day.
The whole Japanese, the nature of the Japanese on this whole subject, the war, the Second World War, which broadly speaking, they kind of ignore. And secondly, their attitude to the nuclear weapons is, from my Western perspective, astonishing. There is almost an acceptance of it. And also a kind of it's part of their culture, which is why I wrote the book I did, because what I wanted to do was focus on the people on the ground. Too much of the focus is on the people in the plane. So it's very important to understand how the Japanese had reached this situation, that militaristic time in their history.
Bernard, we're going to have to leave there. Bernard Clark there, author of Nagasaki. Thanks very much.
Thanks for coming.